The greatest news known to man, the gospel. Think about that. The greatest news that ever hit mankind, that ever arrived to a human on this earth, is what we celebrate today. The birth of our Savior, saving us from hell, saving us from separation from God, and reconciling us to God again, and saving our relationship. Now, I want to read to you in Luke 2, if you'll turn there with me. Luke 2, this is part of the Christmas story. We're going to start with verse 4. I hear pages turning. That's a good feeling. All right, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The first recorded humans to witness Jesus, besides his mom and dad, obviously, were shepherds. These were the first individuals that had the greatest news of all mankind given to them, shepherds. Shepherds are mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. It's the first profession that was mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. David, King David, started out as a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. The first mention of a shepherd as a metaphor for leading people was in Numbers about Joshua. And, of course, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. But let's look at these people, shepherds. In the days of Jesus, shepherds were actually considered a wee bit sketchy. People needed them. You need shepherds. But they were unable to maintain the culture, the proper Jewish culture. They weren't able to keep clean like a Jewish religion taught them. They weren't able to do a lot of things that you were supposed to do as a upright, red-blooded Jewish person. They couldn't do that. They were like the downcasts of the downcast. They lived a lifestyle which is very different. And yet, God chose them as the first witnesses outside of Joseph and Mary for the new and prophesied King of Kings, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, the greatest news ever given to mankind, and God gave that to these shepherds. Let's see what they did. Luke 2:15. We'll continue on. Verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So notice what the shepherds do exactly, four specific things. They search for Jesus, they experienced Jesus, they proclaimed Jesus, and they praised God. The King James Version actually uses the word search. They search Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He who comes to the Lord must believe that he exists and that God is a rewarder of those who seek him." We have to seek Jesus. Find him. Find him every day in your life. Find him in nature. Find him in a book as you're reading the Bible. Find him on your way to work. Find him in people. Find him in music. Look for Jesus everywhere. He's with you. We need to find him every day in your life. No, the second thing they did is they experienced Jesus. It says when they got there, they saw him. They had a personal experience with Jesus. It reminds me, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the Samaritan woman when she went back to her town and said, "Hey, I think the Messiah is out here by the well." And they came, and some of them said, "No longer do we believe that he's the Messiah because of what you say. We believe because we hear him for ourselves." There's a personal experience that you need to have with Jesus. You need a Jesus story. These shepherds had a Jesus story. What is your Jesus story? God longs to be with you in a very personal way. You know, Matthew tells us that every hair of your head is numbered. Some of us is a little easier than others. But God wants a personal experience with you. Don't forget that. Remember also in Matthew, Jesus tells a story at the end times when people will come up to him and say, "Well, Jesus, we cast out demons in your name. We did miracles in your name. We did all this good stuff for you." And he says, "Yeah, but I don't know you." Think about that. I don't know you. You got to have a personal experience. Find him. Experience him. Encounter Jesus in your life. Right? Third thing they did, they proclaimed Jesus. Now, this is an easy one. We see this all the time. Mark 16:15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Acts 1:7-8. This is when Jesus was about to go back into heaven. I want you to get this picture. He's about to ascend to heaven. This is in Acts. Jesus is going back into heaven. He's about to transform, go back up. Somebody says, "Well, what about, or is this the time you're setting up your kingdom?" He says this, "It's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." And then he ascended into heaven. Personally, I feel like Jesus was saying this, "Stop worrying about end times, bro," or "bruh." Stop worrying about end times and get out there and start spreading the gospel. If it is the end times, even more important that we go spread the gospel. We got to get the word out. Stop worrying about the end times and get out there and spread the gospel. We got a lot of work to do. Chop, chop. The field is ripe. John preached a great message last week. He said, the fruit is in the tree, not in the grocery store. The fruit is in the tree. The harvest is in the field. Jesus says, it's ripe, and that was a long time ago. It's really ripe now. It's ripe for the picking. John 4:35, "Lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for it's white with harvest." We got to get out there and get this work done. People need to know the good news that these shepherds knew, that we have a Savior and a Redeemer that came to this earth in human form, lived, was tempted, died, and rose again, and is now in heaven to wipe our sins away so we could be reconciled and have a relationship with our Father God. That's good news, folks. It's good news. People need to know about that. Fourth thing they did is they praised God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. And in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be thankful every day for God's love for every one of us. This world needs some shepherds. We need some shepherds that will go over to those villages I was talking about earlier in the Andes Mountains. We need some shepherds that will go across the street and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. There's people at the skating rink that John goes to. They need to hear about your Jesus story. I read some statistics from Barna Research Group. This is kind of amazing. When it comes to salvation in America, the most common introduction into Christianity was from a friend. 10% of salvations in America came from ministers. Think about that. Most Christians in America are led to Christ by a friend. George Barna, the starter of the Barna Research Group, he read this study and gave this statement I want to read to you. He says the weekend church service is no longer the primary mechanism for salvation decisions. Only one out of every 10 believers who makes a decision to follow Christ does so in a church setting or service. On the other hand, he says, personal relationships have become even more important in evangelism, with the majority of salvation decisions coming in direct response to an invitation by a family or friend. So, I want you to think about this. If you take nothing else from this today, I want you to think about this. How does it make you feel? Knowing that statistically, the greatest news of all human history will be more successful if it comes from you. Think about that. The fruit is in the tree, the harvest in the field. I believe that God is raising the urgency in us to get this greatest news out into the world today. So think about, God strategically chose those shepherds to be the ones, the first human evangelists, those shepherds, those lower class people that couldn't even keep up with their own race because they could not live according to tradition. They could not live according to church law, scriptural law. God chose those shepherds. He didn't choose, think about who he didn't choose. He didn't choose the church leaders, the spiritual leaders. He didn't choose TV evangelists. Well, I guess I thought that'd be funnier too. He didn't choose church leaders. He didn't choose government officials. He didn't choose the wealthy class or wealthy people. He didn't choose people with book deals. I think perhaps one of the reasons that he chose shepherds is so that we would understand that if God can choose and use a shepherd, God can choose and use you. Every one of us, regardless of how you think of yourself, your status and your job, your family, your color, your race, your gender, anything, your size, how much hair you have or don't have, regardless of everything, God needs you and desperately wants to use you. He chose shepherds, and he's choosing you today too. I truly believe that, to give the greatest news in human history. So this week as we celebrate the birth of our Savior this year. I'm going to ask you to notice the urgency in your world, where you live. Notice the urgency of the need for this message to be shared. You remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about the liberated guy that a lot of people mistakenly called a demoniac man in the Bible? And he's the liberated guy now. He probably hates it that demons are still tied to his story. But anyway, he's the liberated guy. But think about what Jesus told him. He was ready to get in the boat and go with Jesus. I'm going to follow you anywhere. Jesus said, no, go back to your people. Go back to your home and your town and tell them of all the good things that God has done. There's people that need to be saved, need the gospel in Ecuador and Africa and India and on your street at the skating rink. Most definitely at Walmart. Notice the urgency this year. As you get your family together, read the Christmas story. Make sure everybody knows your Jesus story or hears a Jesus story from you. Because almost everyone in America celebrates Christmas, but not everyone in America celebrates a relationship with the Savior of this world and His Father. Notice that urgency. Would you pray with me, please?